grace is only for people who need it. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, Practical Principles for Daily Living. I'm Mike Kellogg, and our teacher is Steve Brown. Now, let's study the Bible together. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Obadiah. I bet you thought this was going to be really, really short, didn't you? Because there are only 21 verses in the entire book of Obadiah, and you thought, well, we'll get over this in a couple of days, and then we shall move on in our Old Testament survey to the book of Jonah, which is longer, far more detailed, has more about it that is pedagogical that we can teach. And then you found out, where are you getting all this? I sound like Donald Gray Barnhouse teaching Romans. I think that took most of his lifetime. And every verse took about 18 sermons. And I got into the book of Obadiah and began to discover stuff. And you know, when I discover stuff by studying the Word, I'm going to share it with you. So we're taking our time in a very small book, studying a very small sermon, and are spending a lot of time on it. That's what we're doing. But anyway, we've looked at some exegetical points about Obadiah. We don't know who he was. We're not sure when it was written. Probably around the Babylonian exile, but we're not real sure about that. We talked about the anonymous servants of God that Obadiah represents, because you don't know anything about him. There are a lot of people around who've changed the world, and you don't know their names. Or if you know their names, you don't think they're the one. In fact, we're going to find out when we get home that things are going to be reversed, and that the celebrities are going to barely make it. The people who were men and women of God who changed the world are going to have shacks over in the corner of heaven. And you say, how do you know that? Well, I know. Well, I didn't just dream it up. Jesus said the first shall be last. He said you got to be a slave. And if you're a slave, then you can be an authority. But only the ones who are slaves. The little are going to be big, and the big are going to be little. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said the rulers of the Gentiles think it's great to lord it over them, to have authority, look down their noses. And then Jesus said to his disciples, it shall not be so among you. Man, I don't know about you, but that convicts me. Anyway, we talked about the anonymous people who changed the world. And then we took some time to look at a history lesson of Edom. We saw that Edom is another name for Esau. We saw how throughout hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they became a thorn in the flesh of God's people. We saw that an Edomite was even the Herod that caused so much damage and could have changed things with Jesus of Nazareth before he was crucified. We drew some conclusions from that. We saw the root of bitterness and how dangerous it is. Started with Esau and Jacob a long time ago, and it was still flourishing hundreds of years later. So if you've got somebody who's your enemy, somebody in your family you're not speaking to, somebody who's done you wrong, I know you're probably right and they're probably wrong. Doesn't matter. If you remember, Jesus said, that your enemy's got something against you when you go to offer your gift on the altar. That doesn't mean that you got something against them. I mean, go get it fixed, he said, then come back to church. So, and Jesus was saying that because he knew what I just taught you, that bad stuff, a root of bitterness, can destroy generations. It can sour your own heart. It can make you angry and mean. It can rob you of sleep. And it's just not worth it. Then we drew another conclusion. We saw the complicated pieces of the plan of God in the connection between Jesus and Esau. And we saw how big things happen when little things happen. Now let me give you another conclusion as we looked at Edom and Jacob. Please note, if you will, the action of grace manifested in the choice of the sustaining of God's people over the descendants of Esau. Now, we're told the story of the Edomites and Esau so that we won't be presumptuous. But listen to me, because this is important. We're told the story of Israel so that we won't get depressed and won't run from God and think that there is no hope and no help. Listen, it wasn't that the Israelites were so good and the Edomites were so bad. They were both bad. It wasn't that the Edomites were so mean and the Israelites were so nice. They both were mean. Israel, because it was called a stiff-necked people, the beginning of Israel was when actions we saw that would have complemented the mafia were done to Esau by Jacob and his mother because she loved Jacob more than she loved Esau. These weren't good people and bad people. They were all bad, and God's grace reached. When the father of Dr. Henry Ironside was dying, he was dealing with senility, and his mind was going away. And Dr. Ironside used to tell this story, and I love it. And he would say that for some reason his father attached his mind to Acts 10. And you remember that's where Peter had the vision of a sheet that he was up praying on the roof. And a sheet came down, and there were all sorts of unclean animals on it. And God said to Peter, "Rise and eat." And he said, "I ain't gonna do that. I'm kosher and I'm good and I'm Jewish and we don't eat that kind of stuff. Lobster is out. Ham is not for me. I will not eat that bacon." And God said, "You won't call something unclean that I've called clean." So Peter. And then that was the way that God taught Peter, but that he could go to the Gentiles, the Goyim, who were unclean. Well, at any rate, Dr. Ironside's father, when he was going through this latter years of his life, went through this period of senility, got his mind obsessed on Acts 10. And his father would mumble, "A sheet came down filled with wild animals." And Ironside would say, "Dad, It's not wild animals. It's creeping things." And his father would say, out of even his senility, "Creeping things?" Then he would say, "Yeah, that's how I got in. I was good for nothing but a creeping thing. But I got in by God's grace." Isn't that cool? What a great story. I wish Ironside was still around and still preaching, because he could tell a story the way nobody else could. But that's how we all got in, and that's how the Israelites got in, and that's how you got in. We're all, quote, creeping things that for some strange, weird reason, the God of the universe has loved. Let me show you another conclusion. Please note God's sovereign act of election behind the whole plan that I've described to you about the Edomites and the Israelites. Jacob I loved. This is Romans 9. I didn't make it up. Esau I hated. Why? I'm not going to tell you. I'm God. I make these decisions. You don't. That's Romans 9. Go to it and read it sometime. You say, don't get off on your Calvinistic hobby horse now and start talking about election. Are you saying we're not free? No, you really are. That we're not responsible? No, you really are responsible. I don't understand this. Anybody who says they understand, don't. Bill Bennett used to say, the way you can know a consultant is wrong when you don't understand the consultant. Well, I don't understand how election and freedom come together. But I know that election is a wonderful secret of the family of God, and freedom is a wonderful motivation for the free people of God. But I tell you, when I go to sleep at night, I like to remember that before I was ever born, before I'd done anything bad or good, as God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, before you were a thought in your mother or your daddy's mind, before they even knew each other, before they were born, I knew you, and I called you, and I loved you. I like that. I mean, that gets me through sometimes. Next Wednesday, I was looking ahead on the sheet the staff people give us of questions that I'm going to answer. And next week, I'm going to answer the question, which I have on a number of occasions, about can you lose your salvation? No. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but the real reason is that God chose me before I was ever born. I have some friends who who adopted a daughter, a little girl, and they loved her so much. You just have, I mean, they wanted this baby so bad, and when God made it possible, it was just wonderful. But the problem was, as the baby grew up and got older, they had to decide when was the time to tell her that she was not a biological daughter, that she was an adopted daughter. And we talked about it, and they agonized over it, and they said, how are we going to say this? We don't want to, you know, we don't give her a bad self-image. And you know how, they tell me, you know how much we love her. How are we going to say this in a way that she can understand? Let me tell you something. When they told her, they said, honey, we're going to tell you something that is so good and so exciting. You know all those other children out there? They were born of their parents, and their parents didn't get a choice. I mean, when they were formed in their mother's womb, they didn't get a choice. But we chose you. We went in and looked out all over the babies, and we chose you. And I want you to know that little girl is so pleased that she was chosen. You ought to be too. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our catalog listing, I'll send it to you free. When you get it, you'll know why. It's just a computer printout of the stuff we've got in the warehouse. We used to have pretty pictures. Somebody said, spend the money on ministry and just let me know what's out there. And you can order whatever you need. You have questions. There are a lot of books and materials, a lot of stuff I didn't do that you can get an answer to your question. Just ask me. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. You can ask for the magazine, too. That's free. The booklet, Christmas Meditations, that's free. You can become a part of our Key Life tape CD family. That's free. But none of that's free to us. So if you could help us financially, and some of you could help us significantly, you'd help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, don't dare not call if you can't give anything, but if you can, be generous and pray about it. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include a contribution in your envelope. For any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation. It teaches about Christmas from the perspective of grace. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.